Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Today is Wednesday, May the 8th in the year 2013 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our topic tonight, ADHD, your pharmacist, and ADHD assessments. With us in our virtual studio is Frank Granite, a practicing pharmacist, which is kind of exciting because he's the first one we've had onto the show. I will disclose that this show was taped in advance just due to scheduling so that we could air it at this particular time. We want to run through a few announcements real quick before we get into the meat of the show. First, if you're not aware, Attention Talk Radio is a part of the Attention Talk Network, which would include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, and Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. You can access both of those by going to attentiontalkvideo.com or attentiontalknews.com. And, of course, this is attentiontalkradio.com. If you want to consolidate a list of where all that stuff comes together, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio. As always, it's not too early to start planning for the 2013 CHAD conference, which this year is going to be in the D.C. area. For more information on that, go to chadd.org. Last weekend, there was their regional conference in the Dallas area. It was a one-day event, and I've heard a few reviews. I heard it was a really, really good event, so hopefully if you were in the the Dallas area and you saw that, then consider going to the annual event that's going to be in the D.C. area. So with that, I don't know if we have any announcements other than we've got some really good programming that's coming your way. Stay tuned to attentiontalkradio.com to catch the updates on that. But we are very excited about a few things that are coming our way. But for tonight's show. Again, tonight's show was pre-recorded due to some scheduling issues. So without further ado, let's roll the tape. We're here tonight with Dr. Frank Granite, a board-certified pharmacist. And I have to be very careful, make sure I say pharmacist. He's the first one that we've actually had on as opposed to psychologist, psychiatrist, psychopharmacologist, etc. But anyway, he's a board-certified pharmacist with 25 years of consultative experience specializing in attention deficit disorder and psychiatric drug therapy. He's a clinical director of pharmacy operations at a psychiatric hospital and is a father of six children. Dr. Granite is passionate about recommending the action plan for childhood behavioral conditions. He's the founder of the Coalition Against Overmedicating Our Youth, whose mission is to provide medication consulting to schools, districts, and to foster care children by implementing the action plan for childhood behavioral conditions, including mental illness. So I guess really the best way to sum it up is that Dr. Grant is an ADHD expert advisor. So with that, Dr. Grant, welcome to the show.
Jeff, great to be with you and your listeners. It's a great day because there's a lot of information we can go over and help people, help parents, help their children battle these behavioral challenges.
Absolutely. And I would thank you for reaching out to us because you're actually the first pharmacist I've had on the show. It's kind of way, way overdue. And I want to get in that for a second, but I want to kind of be clear to our listeners out there that this show is not a pro-medication show, and it's not an anti-medication show. This show is about educating you about getting the right diagnosis and, if necessary, and I really want to underscore, if necessary, prescribing the correct medication in the right dose at the right time in the right way. And what is, I guess, been already a learning experience for me, Dr. Granite, is when we first have you on the show, I overgeneralized on what the role a pharmacist actually plays in this process. So can you share with our listeners the role that pharmacists play a little bit, what we do, and we'll just kind of expand from there?
Well, Jeff, basically the pharmacist has actually got more of an active role today than ever before. For example, in the last 30 years, Jeff, you've noticed our world is more toxic than ever before. And when I talked, you brought up my action plan earlier, a moment ago, and in this action plan that can be found on the website, we let people that are battling these behavioral conditions, and we're talking about ADHD, We're talking about depressive behaviors in children and adults as well. Mm-hmm. And what the role of the pharmacist is, point blank now versus 30 years ago, they are like the gatekeeper between the patient and the physician to kind of guide them. In other words, guide them in this assessment process. Because you know, Jeff, and you, yep. you said it right. You hit the nail right on the head where we are middle of the line. There's prudent use of medication. There are cases where medication is warranted. But the role of the pharmacist helps that parent or adult or the, you know, helping that parent navigate their child as they go through the assessment process. Because the last 30 years, Jeff, what's been going on is physicians have only been assessing behavior and not going after causation or the etiology of the condition.
Well, what kind of jumps out at me, and here's how ignorant I was to the process until I really thought about this. One, this is Attention Talk Radio. We like to play attention to attention, and I was paying attention to the wrong thing because I'm not going to say I just think that pharmacists were playing dumb in the process, but I just saw their role as, you know, taking medications, counting the pills, and kind of dispensing those and kind of what's going on. But from what I've learned from you, it's much more than that. Really, your role is to help engage the patients and or parents and educate them in order to work with their physicians more comprehensively, which is a much bigger role than what I had actually really naively thought before I really kind of got into this. Go ahead.
Yeah, you said comprehensively, and that's the key word, Jeff, and I'd like all your listeners to understand that comprehensive assessments, and a lot of people, you know, when they look at our action plan, they get it right away because they, number one, many of them, and whether it's a parent trying to help their child or whether it's an adult battling these conditions for many years, they've contacted me via email or even my mobile phone and basically state, I never knew, for example, you know, the nutritional and physiological causation of ADHD and or depression, anxiety, et cetera. There are assessments that we can do and help people out, one of which that I'd just like to briefly – go ahead.
Dr. Grant, if we can, I want to get to that stuff in real detail, but I think one of the things that I really want to highlight is most of our listeners out there, you have a consultant, and you don't even realize it. The pharmacist is a great person to go. Like if you've got some questions as to what – you go into the doctor's office, you walk away, you've got a few questions or whatever, or sometimes those visits are so short – I never really realized, but Dr. you, I mean, just to have that conversation, because the pharmacist is accessible, they're knowledgeable, not just on the medication, but on the assessment. So one of the things that I really like to highlight, I don't think people really realize, is you've got a built-in consultant in your local pharmacist that it's relatively inexpensive. I mean, it's a free resource if you're getting your drugs there, and I just want to emphasize it because I don't think everybody realizes what a resource that pharmacist could be, and I'm going on about this a little bit because I do think that most people take it for granted.
That's very correct, and many pharmacists take their role, like we talked earlier, very seriously, and I take my role extremely seriously, both in the community setting as well as in the institutional hospital setting, and I think it's a great day, Jeff, because I think a lot of people, once they get this information in front of them, they're going to realize you know, I got new checklists to go through and help my child or help myself.
So let's talk about let's kind of move kind of forward. So A, you're a consultant in the process, very very informative, very useful. But in the diagnosis of ADD, let's talk about old technologies going back a long time ago. There was really just a behavioral assessments that would just take a look at how a child's behavior presented or appearance. And those were typically what has been used historically for diagnosis, particularly around ADHD. Is that an accurate statement from your perspective?
That's very accurate, and all of us should be aware that DSM, which is coming out next month, Jeff, is going to widen the scope. In other words, it's going to be much easier to diagnose this three-year-old, let's say, or four-year-old child with ADHD or anxiety. And I'm getting a lot of parents contacting me with their child with anxiety and or minor depression. So what this signals now and what we could look at right now is that the behavioral assessments, many traditional physicians are already switching gears and disbanding from the DSM protocols. In other words, they're jumping, and we got prestigious universities like Medical School of Johns Hopkins University has been disbanded from the DSM because they believe in these bioassessments for causation first.
Mm-hmm. And I want to kind of pause here for a second, just kind of acknowledge the DSM. That crowd that puts that together is an interesting type of a situation because we need a process to put these types of things to make decisions. But just, and I won't spend a lot of time, but by definition, those types of organizations and situations tend to be behind the time because they're over careful to make sure they get it right. And I will tell you, Dr. Garnett, I'm hearing more and more people looking past that into some of these assessments and kind of moving forward, particularly into the bioassessments here in a second. So just before we get into that, though, the behavioral assessments, I think one of the keys, and correct me if I'm wrong, is you can take a look at somebody's behavior and observe it, but what's causing that behavior can be any number of factors, and in our discussion here, it can be any number of factors could make somebody's behavior look like ADHD and, in fact, not be ADHD. Am I being fair in that statement?
Extremely fair, and it's extremely accurate. And, you know, if I can interject, Jeff, and just one quick, simple process. And this came out of University of California at San Diego, and it's called the assessment process or the bioassessment. It's called convergence insufficiency, and it's a very simple process an exam through a very experienced ophthalmologist. A lot of kids... this university studied ADHD newly diagnosed children that were just at the reading age, and lo and behold, they took these kids, tested them for CI, which is convergence insufficiency. It's a very common, it's just that underdeveloped ocular muscles, which the child cannot focus down on a book to read. So what happens is they get anxious, they're looking around in their kindergarten or first grade class. You know, everybody else is following along with the assignments, but lo and behold, this child's getting more anxious. And what happens is we jump to that behavioral assessment. And we got to step back. And this study was phenomenal. It's in our caoy.org site in our newsletter section that we've posted. And lo and behold, these kids, the majority of them were, once they got that diagnosis of CI, simple eye exams to strengthen those muscles, and they were, you know, there was no ADHD. They were fine, fine.
But it was presenting in a way that somebody might, I'm inferring that people would misdiagnose it as a result of that when it's really something else.
Exactly.
Dr. Garnett, we need to run to a break real quick. Before we do, you kind of head up the Coalition Against Over-Medicating Our Youth. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's a nonprofit, worldwide nonprofit organization that we help parents or help just people in general battle these behavioral conditions and give them free assessments and free advice and free advisement.
And you can get information by caoy.org. That's caoy.org. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Dr. Frank Granite, and we're having a great conversation about a pharmacist's role and actually how a pharmacist can actually aid you and helping you work with the diagnosis of ADHD and many other things. Before the break, we were talking about the role of a pharmacist, and we were talking about in the past, old technology, if you will, was really just to take a look at behavioral assessments. And right before we went to break, Granite offered up even a bioassessment and I'm going to convergent insufficiency. That's an ocular thing, as you described it. Is that, did I represent that correctly?
Yeah, it's the small ocular muscles, Jeff, that just basically are undeveloped in small children, and it's a very simple fix, if you will.
Exactly. So I'd like to talk about some of the other bioassessments that can be kind of done that can be used to maybe to accurately diagnose what's going on and or rule out ADHD. So that's just one that you described. Can you share with us some others?
Yeah, Jeff, on our website, and we also talk about this action plan, basically there's three classifications I'd like your listeners to understand. There's physiological, and there's many of them. There's nutritional and environmental. The nutritional part is even more important. It goes hand in hand with the physiological assessment, like, for example, the one we just brought up with CI.
Uh-huh.
Nutrition is huge, and this is an exciting time for especially anybody that has a child or is battling ADHD, because the brain-gut connection is just something that's been overlooked for too many years. Now it's coming in, and there's tons of information and research on it. For example, all of our cognitive neurotransmitters, Jeff, like the norepinephrine, dopamine, serotonin, you know, simply manufactured in the guts, okay, in the stomach.
Yep.
And what happens is, you know, especially in little children where, you know, at the developmental stage, that whole lining, if we were to do a microscopic exam on a child, let's put it this way, where we're looking into that child's gut, it's an amazing biological, biochemical phenomenon, because what we're seeing now is that the innervation, you have the innervation that comes off the spine and into the gut and small intestine. If there's any type of an impingement or any type of disruption of normal function, if you will, they call this neurogastroenterology function, okay? This science has been around for years, and it's now leading light, especially with small children where nutrition is huge. You know, we all know, like, toddlers that have trouble with going to the bathroom, et cetera, and, you know, the different dyes and different chemicals that are in our food supply, and I talked about the toxic world a few moments ago. Mm-hmm. And this all is creating this perfect ADHD storm, if you will. And when we go into the bioassessment of nutrition and kind of, you know, we can rule that out by you see a very good qualified nutritionist, because what's coming in is important, but actually what this child is excreting is even more important, because it's about toxin release.
Yep. As an aside, we did a show, I think about 2 years ago, with Dr. Charles Parker. And the focus of the show, I think the title of it, was Paying Attention to the Meds That Help You Pay Attention. And the focus of the show was not to educate the public on meds, but educate the public on the complexities and all the things, the digestive tract, the immune system, the metabolic system, and all those things have an impact on at least meds when you're taking, as Dr. Parker said, you know, the meds have to go through the body in order to get to where they're supposed to. And we were talking about this in a little bit different context, but it was an interesting show, because all I was really trying to illustrate in that particular one is if you're going to be prescribing medications, getting the right dose at the right place at the right amount is more complex than just the simplicity. And what you're saying, I think, is really important, is because nutrition in the gut has a lot to do with what's going on. I mean, I can tell you right now, I fight the battle every day of trying to get my kids to eat decent foods, because they're tempted by so many other things. And if it's something as simple as nutrition, then you would want to be treating the nutrition issue, not mistreating ADHD, if in fact that's the issue.
Yeah, and what happens too, Jeff, if if we ignore that fact, and then say we have a child that's got a toxic gut and a toxic small intestine where all the absorption of nutrients occur, what invariably happens over time, and this is just doesn't happen in days, this is over a period of months and years, et cetera, the toxin level gets so high, and then they're at a point of no return. They're making that visit to the doc, you know, to get this, assessment, behavioral
yep.
assessment, if you will. So, and the thing is, too, going hand in hand, and I have this picture, and I'd like love all your listeners if they can, you know, get to our website and look at this 3-year-old child who has her hands up in the air, and basically she's saying, you know, I discussed these three classifications, physiological, nutritional, and environmental, and basically her hands are up in the letter, forming a letter Y. In other words, why am I not being assessed,
yep.
You know, for these causations? And getting back to the spine, Jeff, there's millions, and I'd like your listeners to understand, there's millions of neurons that are innervating the gut and small intestine more so than the neurons, in other words, the nervous system flow of our entire spine. So there's more innervation to the gut and small intestine than the entire spine. So it becomes critical that we focus on that, and I talk about, and I have a 17-year-old that just, you know, ecstatic. He came to me about almost four weeks ago, and he, lo and behold, his diet was so out of control, but the other thing was his entire spine was a wreck.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about, I'd say, almost 3 months ago, I told him, I referred him to a real good qualified chiropractic physician that mm-hmm. assessed his entire spine, and Jeff, lo and behold, his cervical spine was a wreck. He had a small amount of scoliosis going on. But this child now, you know, he's 17, and he was on meds since age 11. So he is
wow.
totally medication-free now, and he's ecstatic. He's going off to college, and he's eating like no other. He's eating healthy, whole foods diet, et cetera.
I can't help but share this show, too. Years ago, we had a loyal listener in the U.K. contact us and said, you know, what about chiropractic and ADHD? And I went out looking for it, couldn't find anybody, but Dr. Russ Ramsey at University of Pennsylvania, who's like go-to guy that helps me find people, helped me track down a guy named Max Muenke, and we did a show about the impact of chiropractic and hypnosis and stuff in ADHD. And in that particular show, I think we did it like August a couple years ago. He's a Western-trained physician that became a chiropractor, and talked
yeah.
about how he got there because he had back problems that he couldn't, you know, he couldn't run because he was a runner, couldn't solve it with Western medicine stuff. But we went to acupuncture; it really helped out. And in that interview, we talked about how he did use acupuncture at different times for those with ADHD, and he said not everybody, but there seemed to help sometime. And with you bringing it up here, and this part of the assessment, is what I'm saying is, you know, it's there can be something here as a result of that. And again, for our listeners out there, if you want to learn more, go back and listen to that show. It's really kind of a fascinating show. And now having this conversation with you, as I'm hearing, there's more evidence to suggest that there can be something at play here, at least from a diagnosis perspective.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, Jeff, it's not, and I talked to a lot of parents day in and day out. We just taped a local TV show about a week
uh-huh.
ago and had so many positive responses. And people get it now, Jeff, where
yep.
as long as you focus on doing, in other words, instead of just doing that one checklist with the
yep.
behavioral assessment, now we got this other list that we can just kind of check off. And, you know, a child's spine may be normal, okay?
Yep.
However, if he gets a manipulation, make it a total package, in other words, to get your child or
yep.
get yourself appropriately assessed. So.
Yep. Now, would understanding sleep play into these types of assessments? I mean, certainly if a child is sleep deprived, that can impact their behavior as well. But would you classify that under the physiological part of what a review might need to encompass?
Yeah, the sleep deprivation or erratic sleep patterns, if you will, the body just can't shut off. And what
uh-huh.
that's linked to, it's a combination of things. And this 17-year-old I was talking to you about earlier is he had tremendous problem with sleep for many years. And, you know, they tried different medications, et cetera. But it was a simple, he was a lucky one where, you know, they had, you know, an extreme nutritional intervention, a good chiropractic assessment, and once these manipulations kept going on, he's had about close to about 28 manipulations so far.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped. He sleeps. He's got no, because he and I did have that discussion. So when you look at sleep deprivation or erratic sleep patterns, it's actually a combination. It's a combination of all three. It could be a physiological presentation, but then again, Jeff, it could be an environmental and or nutritional causation as well. So that's why we have to
Absolutely.
Go through those three classifications.
Absolutely. Other physiological assessments, allergies, would that be one of them?
The allergies are basically nutritionally derived, if you will,
okay.
Because if our – say you have an adolescent, or say we have an adolescent, it's very common where, you know, their hormones are coming into play. You've got allergies. Let's say you have just erratic, digestive scenario going on. That's more the allergies play into this gut phenomenon that I talked about a moment ago, where we
okay.
need to have our kids and our young adults and our adults, if you will, the fiber content. And if you were to ask somebody today, Jeff, okay, how much fiber do you think is in your diet? I can guarantee it's less than 10 grams a day, which is far below recommended daily allowance.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe, it's far higher, the required amount for fiber, because they get it over there, where we need whole foods diet, we need higher fiber, because the higher fiber diets, and we can get this in our, you know, real good types of like cauliflower, broccoli, onions, things like this. And what the fiber does, it flushes out those toxins. In other words, the allergies come from too much toxins being stored in our body. So
mm-hmm.
if we can do this and flush them out, that's all the better. And for those of you who can't get it through your food supply, we go to our website and we have a nutritional webinar there that we deal. I've searched, Jeff, for many years. When I wrote the book, for about a year and a half, I was looking for a good nutritional intervention program, supplement, if you will. And enzymatic nutritionals are the way to go. It helps your body naturally detox every day.
Awesome. Everybody, again, the website he's referring to is Coalition Against Overmedicating Our Youth. And the website, you can find that at caooy.org. And we need to run to another commercial break, but when we come back, Dr. Grant, let's talk. We can start to move into more environmental assessments and stuff like that. So, again, everybody, with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more. How an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a great conversation with Dr. Granite on behavioral assessments and the view from a pharmacist. And before the break, we were talking about some psychological assessments. Dr. Granite, let's talk about some environmental assessments. I'm particularly anxious to learn a little bit about this because I'm not so sure I've really been exposed to a lot of that. So can you share some of those types of assessments?
Well, in the environmental section, when I talked about this in the book, there's two different classes of actually environmental assessments that we could look at. One deals with the actual physiological or physical environment, if you will. Like, in other words, this or if we have a young child, let's say, that's the behavior is getting erratic and it's getting more towards that ADHD diagnosis stage of behavior, then what we do is we look at the first thing, and I have parents do, is a checklist. I want to know what your air supply is about. I want to know what your water supply, what this child's water supply is. And I have my own personal story where, you know, where we live in Southeast Michigan, we live on a well system, and this is about almost 12 years ago where, you know, we had a huge amount of heavy metals in our water table, one of which was arsenic. And that, lo and behold, we had ours tested out, and we were like two points above EPA limits. So the thing is, over time, and there's a lot of research and documentation of heavy metals, with, those are toxic heavy metals that get trapped in especially a young child's body. Over time, that affects behavior, okay? So this is like a physical, environmental risk factor, if you will. So be very diligent. Go after these types of toxin type of exposure. Radon gas is another one. Every home has it. More homes more than not. That can contribute over time as well. So what we should do is make sure our child, our children, or adults, if you will, know about their environment, physical environment. Now, getting into the actual spiritual environment of a person that is going through a behavioral challenge, Jeff, I mean, this is very important, and I think a lot of parents, a lot of people overlook the actual thought process, if you will, of a person battling behavioral conditions, and there's a lot of resources we provide for that as well. I talk about in the book, Jeff, where there's world-class athletes that use guided visual imagery, which they spend more, just as much time with that mental connection, if you will, as to their sport or their activity or whatnot, as far, even more so than the actual practicing of their specialty in sports, if you will. So it's something that is very, I talk about it in a book where a child, a teen, if you will, could easily get involved in. There's a lot of CDs out for that. And it does help the mind think about positive thought processes, if you will. What's going on now, too, in our country, teen suicide and young adult suicide, and I'm talking about, we're talking our young adult population in college. College students in the United States, that population, suicide is the number two cause of death. And this stems, I believe, in my opinion, and I related this in the book, where we've got 30-plus years of a, you know, lack of this causation, if you will, and it's leading up to this perfect storm, if you will. So the environment, when we look at environment, there's a lot of the physical part, but the spiritual part is very important as well.
And I have to – we have done a gazillion shows that are all speaking to that same spiritual thing in different ways. We interviewed Dr. Mark Burton on the impact of media on ADHD and that notion of like the perfect body and that type of stuff that shapes people's thoughts and mind. We've had Greg Kirch come in talking about meditation and stuff, and to me it was a fascinating because I began to realize if you're focusing on object, not your breath, it's actually really an attention exercise. We've had Deborah Burdick talking about negative self-talk. We talked to Dr. Barkley about his executive function deficit disorder construct and the level one thinking tools in the language you direct back on yourself. I'm just scratching the surface on this. And then there's the whole study of neuroplasticity and what you pay attention to over a period of time can physically kind of change the brain. I think that this is a fascinating area that that's starting to expand, and we're really starting to find out there's a lot of stuff that's there. And I so much as an ADHD coach, and I actually call myself an attention coach because at the end of the day, to me, that's actually what you're coaching. Is a person's attention, and the spiritual side has so much to do with it.
Just said hit something home where you are an attention, because what attention coaches do, you guide the, you know, especially children, young adults, if you will, to basically focus, you know what I mean, to help them actually focus. And Here's a point that just came out. This is new studies just coming out now where you just talked about technology a moment ago, where in our environment we're so much more technologically advanced, especially in children and late teens, early adults, and what they're finding too. And let's go back to that chiropractic side, because the physiological presentation, what they're finding now, guess what? It's texting. We got teenagers that are texting so much and becoming so focused on this crazy little device, and just visualize. I want your listeners to visualize a teenager, if you will, constantly, their head is down, if you will. So that cervical spine in the neck is constantly protruding forward, and this gets into subluxation. I talk about this in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So over time, that's contributing, and it affects behavior over time because you're getting impingement of nervous system flow. Over time, that affects things. So again, our environment, technology, et cetera, it all figures in, and we got to look at everything.
It's funny. I agree with you 100%, particularly on the texting and the posture thing. It's funny because when I'm working with those with ADD, one of the things that we do is actually have them look at objects for 30 seconds and notice when their mind wanders away to bring it back as a way to begin to be able to witness their attention. Another thing that I have some exercise I put them into is because to me, and again, this is not science, but it's a way to help people be able to observe what they're paying attention to. And there's exercises I'll put them in, and I kind of compare and contrast the difference between what I call scanning attention and narrow attention. Narrow attention is like texting.
Yeah.
Is what you use when you drive, and you can't use both of those at the same time, which is why texting while you're driving is so dangerous. But the notion of helping people begin to make the observations of what they're doing, because so often our teens and kids are getting so self-absorbed in this narrow attention on these little devices that they begin to sometimes crave, like I've got my younger kids on Instagram all the time. It's all about the likes. It's like he's so driven that you lose sight of the bigger picture, which kind of comes back to the bigger picture here, what we're talking about in terms of assessment, because you have the environmental assessment, which is the physical world. And I, too, grew up in the middle of Virginia when we were on well water, and I remember a couple times it was contaminated, and that can very much have an impact. And if you're going into a doctor's office getting an assessment and they're asking you these types of questions, what type of water are you on? What's the environmental factors? You've got somebody who's asking the questions. If you've got somebody who's just asking you some behavioral-type questions, you might
right.
want to go and search for somebody who's asking for something a little bit more comprehensive. And if you've got any questions on any of that at all, your pharmacist is a great resource to go to and talk to them about what's going on, because they're an impartial third party who can actually help provide you some of that information.
Yeah, we're like the gatekeepers, Jeff. I mean, that's why I say if any of your listeners have any questions, they can feel free and email. We have an Ask the Pharmacist tab. You just click that. Send your questions on, and I respond to those.
And so, I need to kind of wrap this up a little bit. We haven't given it due, but the book that you have coming out, is the Over-Medicating Our Youth. Is that the full title?
That's the full title. And it's the Public Awareness Guide for ADD and Psychiatric Medications. That's the subtitle. And that's the part where I have a complete guide, and it goes hand in hand with the action plan that's in our nonprofit website, the caoi.org. And that action plan is part of the public awareness guide that's in the chapter that we talk about, prudent use of medication, what doses, et cetera, protocols, if you will, if your child is or you are on medication, what is the right dose? And that's
yep.
where, you know, I come into play.
Absolutely. So, this has been a fantastic show. Takeaways for me is that because Attention Talk Radio, what's obvious is a function of what you're paying attention to. And if you're paying attention to a behavioral assessment, and that's a result of something that might be environmental or physiological or something that's spiritual, then you're paying attention to the wrong thing, and you're using the wrong medication or the wrong treatment program for the wrong diagnosis. And so, Dr. Grant, this has been a fascinating show and a very enlightening. Before we just wrap things up, any final points or comments that you'd like to make?
Well, Jeff, I appreciate you having me on and with your listeners, and I'd just like to let everybody know that ADHD or depressive type behaviors in children and adults. Let's change our thought process. Let's go after these assessments, and there's many more that, you know, we
yep.
basically did not even talk about yet. But, you know, look at the book, preview the book on our website, on my website. And if you have any questions, feel free to contact me, and let's get our children. There's now, Jeff, over 10 million children and young adults consuming ADHD medications and psychiatric medications combined.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do is let people know there's prudent use of these medications, but let's go after causation first before we go there, okay?
Let's the people that are taking it for the wrong diagnosis, let's resolve that issue, and there's many people out there who might could benefit if they just learn more about it and let's kind of educate those people so we got some parity. So with that, Dr. Grant, thank you so much for coming on the show. Again, for those out there, the website to go to is www.caooy.org, and his book is Over Medicating Our Youth. Again, Dr. Grant, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jeff.
Take care, everybody. Catch us next week, everybody, for a great edition of Attention Talk Radio.